This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Some Cincinnati neighborhoods, including Winton Woods, South Cumminsville, and Mount Airy, are carrying a higher burden than others when it comes to energy costs. That's according to a new study from researchers at the University of Cincinnati. Residents in those neighborhoods are spending as much as 20% of their income on those bills. Now the study's authors are working with the city of Cincinnati to help make multifamily housing units more energy efficient, which they argue can lower costs for tenants and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the study on disparities in energy efficiency and how the city is responding are University of Cincinnati Department of Civil and Architectural Engineering and Construction Management Assistant Professor Dr. Amanda Webb. Dr. Webb, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
We're glad to have you. And we also have with us Carla Walker from the City of Cincinnati. She's a climate advisor there in the Office of Environment and Sustainability. Carla, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also on the line is climate and community resilience analyst Savannah Sullivan. Savannah, so glad that you could join us as well.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
And all of our guests are joining us today via Zoom. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email your questions, your comments, your observations to talk@wvxu.org, and we'll try to get some of those onto the air. Dr. Webb, let's start with you. Could you explain a little bit about the data and the metrics that you measured while putting this study together?
Sure. Yeah. And actually, before I begin, I just want to acknowledge the talent and hard work of David Moore, my graduate research assistant and co-author on the report. And I also want to acknowledge the support of the staff in the city's Office of Environment and Sustainability, including Carla Walker and Savannah Sullivan, who are here today. This project was very much done in conversation with OES and its partners. So in terms of the study, what we did for this study, and this is different from sort of previous studies that have been done on this topic, we assembled a brand new data set for Cincinnati from several sources. So we used the Hamilton County Assessor data that included building location, square footage, year of construction. We have a data set from Duke Energy that we obtained with the help of the Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance. That included total electricity costs and total natural gas costs for the year 2017 and the number of utility accounts. And this data is within each census block group. And then we also pulled in demographic data for each of those block groups from the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey. And so we put all those data sets together. And I just want to clarify, when I say census block group, census block group is a geographic unit used by the census. It's the smallest unit at which data is available. So it's larger than a city block, but smaller than a neighborhood. And we have 282 of these census block groups within Cincinnati. So our analysis has, you know, data for these 282 groups, block groups. And I just want to point out that the benefit of using these block groups rather than neighborhoods is that they are small and they are relatively similar in size. So the granularity of our data goes down to, you know, block groups are usually about 3,000 people in size. Whereas, you know, neighborhoods in Cincinnati, some of them may be huge, like Westwood, or small, like the West End.
So there may be multiple census blocks within certain neighborhoods is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And specifically, what you're looking at is multifamily residential buildings. Why focus on that?
Yeah. So multifamily buildings, you know, they've been described in previous studies, and we directly quoted this in our report as an untapped reservoir of energy savings. And I love that description. It's really evocative, and then it's also very true, right? So they're an untapped reservoir of energy savings really for two reasons. First, they are a large segment of the building stock. So in Cincinnati, multifamily residential buildings represent 17% of our total built square footage and 31% of our residential square footage. And the second reason that they're an untapped reservoir is because they are an underserved energy efficiency market. And that's really due to several barriers that are unique to multifamily buildings.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit, Dr. Webb, about what you found within some specific neighborhoods. And when you were analyzing these multifamily residential buildings, you were looking at like the size of them, the construction type, and these are considerations that a lot of us will take into account when we're looking for a place to live. People who might be struggling financially, don't have as many options when they're looking at that. So how did the size of these buildings, the construction type, the age of them impact the data that you found in some of these specific neighborhoods where you discovered that some residents are paying up to 20% of their income on energy bills?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I just want to clarify, there's kind of two parts in terms of the analysis in our report. The first part is specifically an analysis on multifamily buildings. And that's what some people call a multifamily segmentation study. Our energy analysis, so the study of energy burden and our other energy metric besides energy burden was dollar per square foot, so the energy cost intensity. That actually included all residential buildings in Cincinnati because that's how the data, that's how the Duke data is structured. It's all the residential buildings. But, you know, to your point, multifamily buildings in particular, and I guess more broadly across our entire residential building stock, there's huge variation, right? We have a large segment of single family homes, but within the multifamily population, we have very large buildings. You know, those large buildings, we have very small buildings, right? Two to four units. And, you know, those typologies can be very different, right? We might have low rise, high rise. You might have centralized HVAC systems or decentralized HVAC systems. So, you know, we're currently in the process of, we've mapped all of these things out, and we are currently in the process of looking at how these things relate to one another. So how our energy burden findings and dollar per square foot results relate to some of these other variables like housing typology, building age, all those variables.
We have with us also a couple of representatives from Cincinnati City Hall who will talk about the city's perspective in addressing this issue. Before we get to that, Dr. Webb, I just want to continue briefly because some of the neighborhoods where you noted that residents are carrying a higher burden when compared to others include Winton Woods, South Cumminsville, and Mount Airy. What can you tell us about the circumstances surrounding those buildings and the demographics of those individuals who reside there that led to these findings?
Yeah, so I think it's important to understand first, you know, what is energy burden and what are the drivers of energy burden? So energy burden is the proportion of people's annual income that they're spending on utilities. And when we think about the circumstances, you know, that lead to high energy burden here in Cincinnati, you know, more generally speaking, drivers of energy burden include housing energy and housing inefficiency. Fuel costs. So what is your dollar per kilowatt hour spent on electricity? What's the dollar per therm spent for natural gas? And household income. And when we think about, you know, household income, keep in mind the energy burden isn't static, right? So income could be sort of chronic low income or it could be an acute hardship. So when we look at energy burden, it can change over time with building upgrades and with household circumstances. So when we looked at these particular neighborhoods, right? So more generally, these drivers are at play here in Cincinnati. And for us, as I said, our initial study is a descriptive analysis. So we've mapped out all these variables, and you can see how they play out spatially in Cincinnati. But what we're doing right now is linking this data with you know, other demographic variables like income, race. This analysis is in progress, but I can highlight a couple of initial findings for you, looking at correlation.
Yeah, please do.
So we found that areas with higher median income experience lower energy burden. Areas with a higher percentage of residents of color experience higher energy burden. And areas with higher percentage of renters also experience higher energy burden. And that's true nationally, but we've also found that it is true here in Cincinnati more specifically.
And that's Dr. Amanda Webb, an assistant professor at the University of Cincinnati within the Department of Civil and Architectural Engineering and Construction Management. We're also joined from the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, climate advisor Carla Walker, and climate and community resilience analyst Savannah Sullivan. Carla, I understand that the city joined with these researchers, Dr. Webb and her colleagues at the University of Cincinnati, about these findings. And I'm wondering, what is your department's reaction to the findings?
So let me first say that Amanda and David and their team have been incredible to work with, and we're fortunate to have a resource like them here in the city. This work is actually a part of what's called the American Cities Climate Challenge, and Cincinnati was selected to be one of the 25 cities in this cohort of cities that were working towards empowering to create and deliver some innovative solutions for some very challenging climate issues. And the American Cities Climate Challenge is actually went through the Bloomberg Philanthropies. And this work seeks to help cities kind of address with tangible differences, some of the major issues around transportation and buildings, which is where you can deliver the most impact in terms of reducing some of the climate impacts. And as Amanda has shared, what she has been able to identify is kind of what's happening in Cincinnati with respect to multifamily building. So we're extremely pleased with this report. It is helping us to kind of put a finer point on a project that Savannah and I are working on through the American Cities Climate Change, which is really focusing on low-income multifamily energy efficiency work.
And Savannah, let's turn to you and Savannah Sullivan, a community resilience analyst at the City of Cincinnati. What are the steps that the city can employ if we're talking about making multifamily residential buildings more energy efficient all across the city, particularly now that we see the data that indicate there are residents within those buildings who are paying such a significant portion of their income for energy bills? What can the city do? This sounds like a pretty expensive undertaking.
Yeah, that's a fun question. So we've been able to take a number of steps, and I'll kind of walk through using some examples of even a pilot program we have already launched. I think it's important to elevate some other findings from Amanda and David's report, namely that the report showed us that 32% of Cincinnati's multifamily buildings are located in extremely low-income Black groups. And another 35% are located in very low-income Black groups. And so what this means is that, you know, our multifamily residents are highly vulnerable. And so what that has helped us understand as an office is that we need to work with local partners who have trust and familiarity with these vulnerable groups. And so we've launched a pilot program called Warm Up Cincy, where not only do we provide $500 financial assistance for the completion of the program, but we provide energy efficiency upgrades to multifamily residential units, and we provide energy education opportunities. So what this provides folks and elevates for how the city can strategize is that not only do folks need help now through things like financial assistance, but we need to provide long-term solutions for these residents because they might end up in crisis again. And so that's where the upgrades come into play, and that's where the energy efficiency education comes into play. And we've been able to work with some wonderful partners such as Community Action Agency, as well as people working cooperatively to make that program happen. I'll also add that we're building in these types of considerations to develop future programs and focus on those types of crisis communities so that we can make sure we're micro-targeting our services and funding to the people who need it most.
And Savannah, I just want to follow up on something that you said there that involved some numbers. I think you might have said that 35% of the city's multifamily residential buildings are in low-income areas, and then another 35% are actually in areas that rank lower than that?
Correct. Yeah, this has to do with how we break down low-income communities. So often you'll hear the statistic, 80% of area median income, that's considered low-income. But there are further breakdowns from that. So very low-income are households who have their area median income is 30 to 50%, as well as the extremely low-income residents who live below 30% of that area median income. And our programs, we work with folks who are within that category, 200% of the federal poverty level, which means an individual who makes around $24,000 or less per year.
Okay. And Carla, also from the city of Cincinnati, Carla Walker, climate advisor there. You know, old buildings, and Cincinnati's an old city now and has plenty of old houses. Some of them have been beautifully restored, but you might hear complaints, oh, it's a little drafty, or we have some high bills in certain seasons. But when we're talking about these particular buildings and the units in which these residents who are spending so much of their income on energy bills where they live, what kind of condition do we know that these buildings are in?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And fortunately, we have, as Savannah had mentioned, we partnered with some local organizations to help us with implementing and executing the Warm Up Cincy program. People Working Cooperatively is the agency that we've been working with to go into the homes and do the upgrades. And we have been very successful in that, and being able to do that. It is a concern, I will say, that, you know, there could be multiple issues that you're facing in the, that those home, renters are facing that may not, that may be more than just energy efficiency concerns, right? They may have other areas that there may be other areas that we need to address, but and we have been having conversations with other programs, such as addressing lead abatement issues that might possibly be something that these tenants are dealing with. So it's a very challenging situation that I think finally we are beginning to address some part of it. I want to also point out that while the work that Amanda has done has kind of identified where some of the issues are with multifamily buildings, we know that most of Cincinnati's existing energy efficiency programs have been set up to provide services for owners of single-family homes. So we knew that there was already a gap in services for low-income renters living in multifamily buildings, which is one of the other reasons why we decided to kind of focus our attention on that sector. One of the other things I will share, Savannah might be able to elaborate a little bit more on this, but in addition to the program Warm Up Cincy that we have created, we've been working with Amanda and using some of the information that she's provided to begin forming a program that will also help owners of these multifamily buildings. Because the energy efficiency upgrades are not just something that might need to be done within the unit, but we also might need to address some of the building envelope issues there if we really want some larger, more comprehensive energy savings for those tenants.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We are talking about a new study from researchers at the University of Cincinnati that found disparities in energy efficiency and multifamily housing in the city of Cincinnati. We're joined by one of the authors of that study, Dr. Amanda Webb from UC, and also from the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, Carla Walker and Savannah Sullivan. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. We want your phone calls as well at 513-419-7100. I want to quickly make a correction on something I said earlier in the program when I identified three of the neighborhoods where residents are paying a more substantial amount of their income on energy bills. I referenced South Cumminsville and Mount Airy, and I believe I said Winton Woods. I should have said Winton Hills. I want to thank Mary for listening and calling in to make sure we made that correction on air. Also, ahead a little bit later on, an eviction crisis is taking a toll on communities even outside the city limits. What new data shows about our first suburbs in Hamilton County. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our look at why some residents in some Cincinnati neighborhoods are spending so much more of their income on energy bills when compared to other neighborhoods. And we'll also talk about some of these possible solutions. We're joined by University of Cincinnati Department of Civil and Architectural Engineering and Construction Management Assistant Professor, Dr. Amanda Webb. Dr. Webb, glad you could stick around with us. And we have from the City of Cincinnati, Office of the Environment and Sustainability, Carla Walker, a climate advisor there. Carla, thanks to you. And we also have climate and community resilience analyst Savannah Sullivan. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's go to the phones now. We have Alex on the phone. Alex, thanks for calling in. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So, little backstory. I'm actually an energy specialist. I do home audits. And one of the big things that happened this year that not a lot of people know about is House Bill 6 cut all funding for energy efficiency programs run by utility companies. Duke had programs for multifamily units that were completely free to the properties and everything, and they have completely had to cut all of that away because of House Bill 6, which is part of the another reason that this is having issues.
Alex, thank you so much for the phone call. We do appreciate that. And for those of you who are wondering what House Bill 6 is, it is related to some power companies, and it's also the legislation that resulted in the removal of House Speaker Larry Householder in Columbus after some investigations and some criminal charges were filed. I'll note that our colleague Andy Chow at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reported this week that the Ohio House will begin to hold hearings on a possible repeal of House Bill 6, which bailed out nuclear power plants, among several other things. And he does note in his reporting that under that House bill, ratepayers will see new monthly charges of up to about $2.35 to pay for the nuclear, coal, and solar subsidies. Opponents of that legislation say that the energy efficiency standards in that legislation ended up saving taxpayers an average of $7 a month with an average net benefit of just $4. Dr. Webb, do you have any reaction or insight that you can offer to Alex's comment on that line?
Yeah, I really appreciate Alex's comment. I think pointing out the sort of negative impacts of HB 6 on on energy efficiency programs in Cincinnati is really important to keep in mind. And I think it really highlights the role that the city is stepping into here. In a sense, the city is really stepping into a vacuum. I do want to point out, though, that while Duke's previous programs, yes, they did have previous programs for low-income multifamily buildings, they were largely geared towards tenant space upgrades, right? So when you think about a multifamily building, you have upgrades that happen in the individual unit itself, and then you have upgrades that can happen to the building, right? So that might be to the building envelope, or let's say the building has a central heating system and a boiler. Those might be upgrades to the central sort of system. Those programs didn't really address sort of the whole building as a package. They were largely focused on tenant spaces. And critically, they didn't overcome, you know, I mentioned barriers earlier. One of the critical barriers to energy efficiency in multifamily housing is what's called the landlord-tenant split incentive, right? So in a single family home, great, the owner pays for the upgrades and the owner pays for the utility bills. In a multifamily building, the landlord's going to be the one who's going to pay for the upgrade, but the tenant is going to be the one who benefits because they typically pay for part or all of the utility bills. And I know that that's something that the city is really thinking about how to address in some of the programs that they're developing.
Dr. Webb, we noted a report from Bloomberg that came out last November, about a year ago, that identified neighborhoods with more people of color are paying higher energy bills. And I understand that you and your team are working on a follow-up research study that might examine more deeply this data that you uncovered, and you'll be looking at the relationship among all of those variables, including historical housing practices such as the racist redlining. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on what you might be looking at next?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, the current study is really, it's a descriptive study. So our goal now is to really put all of these variables together. And I highlighted earlier some of those sort of initial findings of bivariate analysis, right? So how does, you know, the percentage of residents of color relate to higher energy burden? Well, our initial findings show that the, you know, areas with a higher percentage of those residents of color experience higher energy burden. So our goal is really to put all of these together and put statistical analysis to it. Right now we've got these great maps, descriptive analysis. And so we want to put all of these variables together, control for them, and see what we find in terms of what are the biggest, you know, variables contributing to energy burden. Crucially, one of the things that we're doing in our analysis is looking at how that might vary across the city, right? So you might imagine that in certain block groups, some variables may be more important in predicting energy burden than others. So we're taking a spatial approach in our analysis. In terms of looking at the linking that data with the history of, you know, housing practices in Cincinnati, I think Savannah could speak well to that. That is something that she's really brought in terms of her expertise to our collaboration.
Well, Savannah, let's have you speak on that.
Sure. Yeah, it's been great to work with Amanda and David on taking these analyses to the next level and exploring these historical factors that can affect neighborhoods for generations to come. There have been a number of recent analyses that have displayed this relationship of practices like redlining to outcomes such as urban heat or to communities who have more tree canopy than others. And we're curious to explore that with respect to energy burden. And I'll add here that, you know, a big mystery in Cincinnati is that the redlining map, the official map, is missing. And so we have been working with groups and experts across the city to try to tease out what information is available to help us understand which communities were discriminated and how, and pull that into this conversation. And so we're looking forward to doing that. And I'll also add here that another project that the Office of Environment and Sustainability recently did is we participated in an urban heat island community science campaign with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in order to understand which communities are most at risk of extreme temperatures. And so that will help bring Cincinnati into this greater conversation around effects that are being discussed heavily with respect to historical discrimination.
And we are working on a segment here at Cincinnati Edition to dive a little more deeply into what that analysis found as it relates to a heat map in the city of Cincinnati. And in our final moments together, let's turn to Savannah's colleague at City of Cincinnati, Carla Walker. And as listeners are hearing this information, what can residents of Cincinnati expect in the form of action? Is there a timeline to address this? I know you referenced some programs earlier, but is there anything new that might emerge from this in the coming months or years?
So first I'd like to address the gentleman's comment about HB6, which did kind of devastate a number of the energy efficiency programs. But with respect to the program that we're talking about today, with this low-income multifamily energy efficiency project, that is actually being funded by Duke Energy Ohio through a rate case settlement that was settled with the City of Cincinnati. It provides us with a significant amount of dollars, about $250,000 a year for about 5 or 6 years for these particular programs. In terms of what's next, the work that we're doing to roll out a program for building owners, multifamily building owners, That should be hitting the streets before the end of this month. That will be specifically designated to help multifamily building owners address some of the envelope issues that they might have. And we have two programs that we are creating for that. One is a smaller grant program to the tune of up to about $5,000 is a matching grant program for building owners. And then we have a larger, a longer term comprehensive program that we're working on to see some more significant energy efficiency upgrades for some of the multifamily buildings.
We'll have to leave it there. That we can have you all back on to talk more about this, Dr. Webb, especially when your next round of research is complete, as it looks at some of the other underlying issues related to this disparity. So Dr. Amanda Webb from the University of Cincinnati, Carla Walker and Savannah Sullivan from the City of Cincinnati, I'm grateful for all three of you for taking some time with us today and having this conversation. Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.